Lord, we know you're present. We love you. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask now that you would change hearts, change our minds. Lord, some of us have come in here and we're not really sure what we even believe. And Lord, I know you want us to be sure. And Lord, some of us have come with broken hearts and with things that have happened in our lives even this week. I pray that, Lord, you would help us to just take those things in our hands and hand them over to you, that you can be trusted with our entire life. And Lord, help us to be in that security of just trusting you with everything in our life. Now, go before us. Be with our brother Aaron as he prepares his heart for tomorrow. Would you bless him? And we thank you and praise you for this company of people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Lord, bless you, brother.
Well, thank you for being here another night. I think some of you live at this church. How many of you think you live at this church? That's been amazing to see you here. And some of you heard me last night and you came back tonight. That is awesome. So either you were sleeping or you got bribed with food. But I'm glad that you're here. I've got to spend time with your pastor, and I praise God for him and his ministry here. I want you to know he loves you dearly, and I know that you know that, and he loves the Lord. And praise God for him and his ministry. I wish I could spend more time with all of you, but unfortunately, I leave tomorrow, and I go back to sunny, warm Indiana. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. That's a lie. And then I'm so bummed. There's not been sun since I've been there. And then my wife, she's all rubbing it in today. We're outside playing. The sun's great. 60 degrees. And then I look on the weather, and tomorrow it's raining all day. It's supposed to maybe even snow next week. And I did something wrong, and God sent me there. No, we're loving it. We're loving it there. And we praise God for what he's doing. And I praise God for you. You know, we may never see each other again. Some of you are like, amen. But we'll see each other in heaven. And I love the church. I love God's church. And God's church is powerful. And I want to thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for listening well. Thank you for just being here. So encouragement to me. I was talking to Pastor Mark, and I'm like, man, how long is this conference? It seems like it's for a year. And he said, we go all the way to Saturday night. And I'm like, good night. And I love it. I love the fact that there's people here tonight wanting to hear from the Lord. And if there was one person here that wanted to hear from the Lord, you know the Lord is with us. And he wants to give us something tonight. And I think of no greater subject to talk about in our day and age is the Holy Spirit. And my task to you has been to just talk about the works of the Holy Spirit. And what I've tried to do is try and get you to see what the Holy Spirit can do through you. That's been my goal. Tonight we'll continue in Acts, but tonight we'll begin Acts chapter number 2. And Acts chapter number 2 is where we'll be in a moment. I'll read verses of Scripture. But we see how the local church was started. I grew up in church. I love the church. But you know, the church has a lot of failures. The church has a lot of things wrong with it because there's people that go to church. And people are messy. And people mess up. How many of you messed up? All right. How many of you messed up today? Some of you men are not raising your hand. Just let your wife raise your hand for you. We mess up. And the church has many flaws, but I still believe that the church is the answer when it comes to Jesus Christ. And my desire is not just to only pastor my church, and I want to do that well as I can, but my desire is to encourage the church, to encourage the churches all over this nation and in the world, because without you, there is no hope. And Acts chapter number 2 talks about dealing with a few men. And so tonight I want to start there, but before I do, I think of the saying, the few, the proud, the Marines. How many of you heard that? That's been around forever. Any Marines in here? The few, the proud, the Marines. One of my mentors is a Marine. It's a very well-known slogan from the Marines, and there are several others from different branches of our military. The military is very unique. In all reality, no matter what branch you are in, you are the few being in the military. You know, I had something happen to me, and it stands out. Many years ago in ministry, I had a teenager so upset at his parents come to my office. He plopped down, and he folded his arms, and he sat there, and he said, "Pastor Mark," and I said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm so sick of my parents telling me what to do." I said, "Okay." And he goes, "I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to show them." I said, "All right, what are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to join the military." And I said, "That's a good idea. Would you like me to drive you to the recruiter?" And I laughed my head off. He has that attitude, and we laugh at teenagers because sometimes they get frustrated. But the truth is they're not near as bad as we adults. And we can tell them what to do, but we sometimes don't let anybody tell us what to do, and we're worse than teenagers. And I feel for them because a lot of times the focus is on them, but their problems are a domino effect from their parents. And I pray tonight that we can talk about the few, the devoted few. I think of the military when I think of Acts chapter number 2 because I think of a devoted few men. I think of special forces, which are an elite group with the military. There's not many, but when they show up, they make a big impact. I was a chaplain for the police department for many years in Las Vegas, and I rode with the SWAT team. And I'll never forget riding with the SWAT team. I rode with them, and it was my first time ever riding. They put me in this, I always get this messed up, but you would know what it is. What's that big tank thing? It's an armored vehicle, but they call it something. And I get there, and there's a briefing. We're going to go into this house. It was a drug house, and they asked me to come along with them. And they said, now, Pastor Mark, you're going to sit in the front seat there. So I sat in there. They put a helmet on me. They put armor on me. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm just the chaplain. I'm here to pray in the name of Jesus. You guys are safe while I stay back. They said, "No, we want you up there." So they put a helmet on. They give me all the stuff, and I'm sitting in the armored vehicle. And there's guys on top of the hood, and there's guys hanging off. And we're driving through the Walmart parking lot. Everybody's just staring, and I'm like, "This is cool." And then we go up to the house, and we're about 30 seconds from the house, and the vehicle is really loud, and you can hardly hear. And then the driver goes, "Hey, we're 30 seconds out," and he slaps the guy that's standing, kneeling next to me, and then he turns and says, "We're 30 seconds out," and he slaps the next guy, and they're all slapping. Then he looks at me, and he goes, "Chap, we're 30 seconds out," and he passed me on the back, and I said, "30 seconds from what? I don't know what I'm getting into." So we pull up to the driveway. They're like, "Go, go, go." And I'm like panicking, and the driver just grabs my shoulder and says, "You just stay. You just stay." I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Man, as soon as those people found out, the SWAT team, they said, on the PA, they said, "This is the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Come on out." And boy, did they not just come out. They ran out everywhere. Why? Because it's intimidating. It's intimidating to see this armored vehicle. It's intimidating to see guys with machine guns. It's intimidating. No, and they didn't come to sell you a vacuum cleaner. And boy, I think of my SWAT team experience in how they kind of messed with me that day, but how elite that team is, but they make a big splash. And when we read Acts chapter number 2, it made me think of this elite group. That were on call and ready to go into action when Jesus sent them, the disciples. You see, Pentecost was about to happen, and the 12 disciples were together, and Jesus just ascended up to heaven. And those 12 disciples had just received the Holy Spirit. And as they received the Holy Spirit, they didn't know what to do or where to go next. But a devoted few impacted the world as we know it. Stay with me for a moment. Acts chapter number 2, we come to one of the most amazing events in the New Testament. Pentecost had been talked about since it happened. Acts 2 and verse number 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." What amazes me about the conversion of 3,000, this day, 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if in Reno, at one time, 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ? You know what a lot of the problem is? Many of people, even in this room, don't believe it can happen. But the truth is we had the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us and then the 12 disciples had. And it says they were all together. And you know what's even just amazing to me about the conversion of 3,000 people to Christianity on that day is the fact that it started with a devoted few. Think about it. It wasn't a whole group of churches that came together as hundreds and they rented out a coliseum. It was a devoted few. They were 12 strong. Woo! Did you know there's more in here tonight than there was at believers at Pentecost? Think about that. And so you see, it's an amazing event to me, not just because 3,000 people came to Christ, but a devoted few were there who gave them Christ. I believe this event is the reason we know the gospel today. I believe this event is the reason why we have church today. I believe this event is why we do what we do tonight. The event known as Pentecost, that means 50 in the Greek, occurred 50 days after the Passover, Sabbath, and it's another name for the Feast of Weeks, of the Feast of the Harvest, one of the three great festivals Jewish people celebrated in Jerusalem. And then that it had fully come, the verse says, I'll read it in a minute, means there was no doubt that this was exactly the right day for Pentecost. The disciples were 12 strong. You know, this world is all about numbers. Unfortunately, even the church is about numbers today. You know, the world tells you that you have no influence without numbers. Numbers of people. Numbers in your bank account. How many of you can count how much money's in your bank account in about 10 seconds? Can I get a witness on that one? Numbers means influence. Do you know, but that's the opposite of what God thinks. You know, so today's way of thinking, the world says numbers gives you influence. We are told constantly when we are in the minority that our opinion doesn't matter. We're seeing today in our own country that a Christian's opinion doesn't matter. We're seeing it in numbers that people are rejecting the message of Jesus Christ. It's hard to have the minority opinion and move forward in the faith as a Christian. Let me just say something to you. Let's be real. A lot of times, church is the only place we're not real. It's amazing to me. You cannot tell me. It took a lot for you to be here tonight. This week, you've given up every night to come be at church. You can't tell me there hasn't been a bad day getting here yet. Some of you have brought food. In that car, that food has spilt in your car. Some of you, hey, you still smell like Monday night's meal. Some of you come straight from work, and you smell anyway. Some of you have small children, and you've gotten home from work, and you've thrown them in the car seats, and you've buckled them up, and they're hungry, and you're throwing Cheerios in their face, and you're squealing into the parking lot. I know, because one of you almost ran me over tonight. I went, whoa, whoa, and she had a lot of children in the car. Man, and what we do is we pull up and we're in church and we're panicking. And why didn't you get up that early? Why didn't you get dressed? Why were you watching the news? Why were you watching that basketball game? We're going to be late for dinner and we have all the food. And then you step foot into the parking lot and it's, hello, Pastor. Praise the Lord, I'm here in the name of Jesus Almighty. Hallelujah, praise be to the name. Lord, I lift your name on high. Doesn't it seem that church is the only place we try and fake a bad day? I firmly believe that church ought to be the place where you can have a bad day and everybody looks right over it. You know what I believe? I believe we've bought into this, we're not relevant. We've bought into this that, hey, we believe in Jesus. This world is condemned to hell. I'm just waiting till Jesus comes. How many of you, like Eeyore Christians? Well, how you doing? I'm doing okay. It's another day. Just waiting for Jesus to come. Well, Jesus ain't coming because of you. He doesn't want to see you. And we're so discouraged. Yeah, this world's going. Oh, woo. You know, I believe because the devoted few had been with Jesus, they were excited to tell the story of Jesus. You know, we see they were together. They were a devoted few. And that devoted few we see here, Jesus died and rose again. The majority of our community is heading a far different direction than what the Christian believes. How many of you would agree tonight in your community that the majority of people are going in a different direction than what our faith is? Jesus died and rose again. He was on earth for 40 more days, and then right before he ascended to heaven, he told the disciples to wait on the Holy Spirit, then he left. Then he left. Put yourself in their shoes. These men followed Jesus for 3 years, watched him perform miracles, then all of a sudden, the Savior they believed in, what their hope was, left. Left. And then you look around and you notice there's only 12 of us. And none of us are raising anybody from the dead. None of us are calling manna down from heaven. None of us have broken fish and all of a sudden there's another fish. What do we do? We've seen Jesus, but is there really any hope? Is there really, really hope? We're going to Pentecost with all these religious people. Should we really tell the message? You see, I don't think they reacted that way because they were so emboldened with the Holy Spirit, they were ready to tell what they saw. But too often, even before we're able to share the gospel with the world, we're living so much fear because man's opinion is not what ours and what we believe. You know, we see in this passage a very important thing in verse number 2, if you look there with me, it says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind." Jesus told them, "Wait on the Holy Spirit." And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. "And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one were hearing them speak in his own language." You know, the word in this passage, spirit, in both Greek and Hebrew, describes wind or breath. The idea of wind captures the impact of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. Just as man did not exist until the life-giving breath of Almighty God, so the church did not come alive until God breathed forth the Holy Spirit. These were not literal flames of fire. As the text says, they were of fire. Fire serves as a symbol of the presence of God, and it is a representation of the Holy Spirit. You see, the church did not exist until God breathed the Holy Spirit into it. That's people, that's you, that's me. You know, once they received the Holy Spirit, they were different and they were able to do things, and they would have not been able to do it on their own. My friend, if you don't remember me, but one other thing tonight, that you've watched a guy up here get so excited with the fact that the local church is the answer for its community, and the local church should not be discouraged, and the local church should not be depressed, and the local church should not worry about anything else other than, do I have the Holy Spirit? And am I following the Holy Spirit? And am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Because with the Holy Spirit, we see 12 devoted men making impact on the world, and we know who Jesus is tonight because of Acts chapter number 2, because they were filled with the Spirit and they moved forward in faith. You know, this church tonight's success will be determined by the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And here we see the works of the Holy Spirit are about to come out in a great way through the church. And as we equip military before their assignment, God equipped these men with the Holy Spirit before activating them in their mission. Can I tell you, this place ought to be a place where you're activated. You're activated by encouragement. You're activated by pushing the reset button and being reminded through the preaching and through the singing. Your reset button of Holy Spirit, take a hold of my life and guide my life, because with you I can do all things, but without you I can do nothing. You know, I believe because of a devoted few, they were able to change the world. You know, I was taking Kevin White comes here. I don't know if you know him. He's executive director of the Southern Baptist Convention, a great friend of mine. He drove me around Reno this morning I wanted to see it. We even came out here. I wanted to see a little bit of Reno, and I'm so passionate with church planning, and I believe the answer to all of the world's problems in our America today is churches, birthing churches. And I believe that with all my heart, and we prayed together, and we went through a trailer park, and it was where he grew up. And well, we just stopped there. Well, I couldn't fight back the tears. Just think, by the grace of God, because one person reached out, letting the Holy Spirit guide them, invited his dad to church, he's able to come back to his own community and reach others with the gospel. You know, 500,000 people in this region. You know what we need? We need a church like this that says, we may be small, but we're big when we let the Holy Spirit fill us. You know what we need tonight? We need to not go outside and get in our cars and say, boy, it was a great night at church. Now we need to endure the rest of the week. No, we need to go outside and go into our mission field and be bold with the fact that we're filled with the Spirit. And with the Spirit, we are strong. And with the Spirit, it doesn't matter the numbers, that he has a plan for us and he has a mission for us. And that's to reach our community with Jesus Christ. You know, I thank this church. I think of Crystal, it was Crystal, right? Crystal accepted Jesus Christ last night. You know, I called my wife, and this morning, and she said, well, how did it go? I said, I don't know how I did, but I know how Jesus did. A lady came to Christ last night. And my wife said, well, honey, that was worth you flying there. You know, I believe that with all my heart. I believe that if a church would realize that it is devoting themselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can do all things through us. So tonight, here's what I want you to take away. A devoted few. A devoted few got a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit and changed the world. Now wait a minute. You know, I got a little tickled, and maybe I shouldn't have, but the Lord, I lift your name on high. I was with a couple of the teenagers. I didn't know when to say it. I'm like, Lord, I lift your name on high. And no one else is singing it because I sang it in the wrong place. Anybody else did that tonight? You're not admitting it. Don't lie in the church. Raise your hand. You know, I believe that God was smiling down and going, young people praising my name. You know what you need to do? You need to look around. You don't have as many numbers as your community has, but what you do have is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in allowing you to guide is going to change these young people's lives. The Holy Spirit being involved in your decisions in this church is going to change people's lives forever. The man that led the singing the last 2 days, 17 years you've been here, right? 17 years came to Christ here at this church, and how God's used him. That's the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to change this community, it's not going to be programs. If you want to change this community, it's not going to be a fancy tagline. If you want to change this community, it's going to say, I'm devoted. I don't care who turns from God. I don't care what people say. I've seen Jesus in my life, and he saved me, and I've got to share it with others. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me. A devoted few. And I want you to notice what happened with this devoted few through the scripture, through this text. The first thing, if you're writing notes, I encourage you to, they stuck out. They stuck out. 12 men stuck out with thousands. Look at verse number 7. Verse 6 first, it says, and at the sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered. And then it says, and then verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? And if you keep going down all the way to verse number 11, it says, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Notice this. But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. You see, the gift of tongues or languages was given here to accomplish a particular purpose, preaching the gospel to all people. Part of Jewish literature was to recite one of the great acts of God in their history. The crossing of the Red Sea would be one, or the falling walls of Jericho would be one, or how God miraculously fed them in the wilderness would be one. So when the Holy Spirit empowered them, they all worshiped, rehearsing his wonderful works, and bystanders understood them. They stuck out. They stuck out because they yielded themselves to God's plan. They stuck out because the Holy Spirit's presence was upon them. And when the Holy Spirit came to fill a Christian, the individual speaks and acts in ways not possible before. You know what needs to happen in a community? Is we need to stick out like the 12 disciples devoted themselves to God. They stuck out. More important than numbers, they stuck out because they were different. They had the attention of everyone because of the power. People stopped and were in awe of what they were hearing because these few men were devoted to Jesus and his cause. They stuck out like a sore thumb. When I see someone in military uniform, it causes me to pause. It causes me to thank them for the service and for different reasons, but I liken it to these ordinary few devoted men. They stuck out because of the Holy Spirit's presence. They stuck out because of the filling of the Spirit. You know, that's how we should be. You know, I planted a church over 13 years ago, and I'm from Florida originally, came from a place called Fleming Island, never really saw a homeless person, never interacted with anything like that. Then I moved to Vegas, packed our bags, didn't know anyone, moved to Vegas, planted a church there, started a church, and I had a car that the church gave me, and it was a car that was the craziest car in all the world. It was an old Cadillac, and it would shut off out of the middle of nothing. I mean, just shut off when it wanted to. And the crazy thing, it would start when it wanted to. I was driving down the road, Desert Inn Road, and I was driving, and I was going on visits as a pastor, and I was 26 years old, and I was driving, and there was a Wendy's, and I said, I'm going to go to that Wendy's. It's hot. I'm tired. Not talking to anyone. No one's answering the door. And so I'm at the intersection, and all of a sudden, the car shuts off. And I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas, but some people are not very nice. The guy behind me starts honking, starts yelling at me. I'm out of my car. I pop the hood up, and I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with this thing. And then he comes up, and he starts yelling at me, and I don't know what happened, but it shut off. And God is my witness, it came back on. I did something, and the guy was shaking it or doing something, and I went to go sit down and turn it over. It came on. And the guy's yelling at me. He goes, your car's on. Move out of the way. And so I was discouraged. I pulled in right next to a large Harley-Davidson dealership. I parked my car, went in, and I got me what good pastors do on a Saturday afternoon, a Frosty. Started just staring out the window, eating a large Frosty. And all of a sudden, this motorcycle gang comes in. And guess where they park? They surround my car. And here I am, 26 years old, from Florida, never been around anything like this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to get to my car? And the Holy Spirit just said, go talk to him. I said, Lord, I will after I eat my Frosty. If they're still there in the name of Jesus, I will witness to them. And boy, I ate my Frosty, and I mean, have you, the spoon, I'm getting everything I can. Oh, there's a little piece there. You know, you ever done that? Ate a Frosty and you're getting the last little juice and it's empty. And the Holy Spirit says, well, it's time to go witness to him. I said, well, I'm a little hungry. Give me a hamburger. No lie. Went and got me a hamburger, sat down. For sure they're going to be gone. I ate the hamburger and I ate every bit of that hamburger. And I look up and one leans on my car. This guy, he's got a beard down to his waist, and he's leaned up against my car, and I take this deep breath, and I'm like, well, Lord, I guess you want me to tell them about you. And I got up, took a deep breath. Here I am. I'm walking out to my car, and there's huddled around all the motorcycles, and I said, excuse me. And one guy goes, yeah, what? I said, I just need to get to my car. If that's okay with you, I can wait for 8 hours if you want me to. I just need to get to my car. Sure, get to your car. So I open my car door and I shut it, and the Holy Spirit's like, you did not tell them about Jesus. I'm like, I know. I'll ask you for forgiveness when I get home. Don't tell me you haven't done this before. I go to crank the car. They're all moving, waiting for me to back up, and they're just... I'm like, dear Jesus, here we go. I get out of the car, I shut it. Well, guys, I've got a problem. No joke. This is going to sound very weird, but I'm a pastor. And one guy was just so upset. It just started making comments, and one guy was just staring at me, and I said, I think God wants me to tell you something. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. That's it. I go get my car. One guy grabs my car door, and I'm like, oh, my word. It's going down. Lord, create in me a ninja light reflex. I turn around, and he says, before you go, this man, beard to his waist, he gets all choked up. He starts crying in front of the whole gang. He says, you're first person other than my mother that told me God loves me. She's told me for years. A month ago, I was talking to her on the phone for her birthday, and she said she's praying that someone in Las Vegas would tell me that God loves me. I just looked at him. Okay, can I go? He goes, where's your church? I'm going to come. I'm like, please don't. Sunday morning, here I am. The only guy I talk to, he comes. I hear this motorcycle. And he walks in, sits down, led him to Christ that day. He's an usher in our church. It's funny. And I didn't care. Usher in our church, the first guy you would see at the door, had the longest beard in the state of Nevada. And he would hand him that bullet. Here, take it. I'm like, oh, dear God. You're going to need this. You'll regret it. Tells you what's going on here. Man, he came a good friend of mine. He eventually went home and took care of his mom until she died. But you know, it was a great lesson to me about the Holy Spirit. I didn't have the answers. I was scared to death. But all God wants us to do is stick out with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I see someone in military, they stick out, and we should stick out by the way we live, the priorities we have, the fact that we're different in our reactions to life. It amazes me how people say they love Jesus, but they react so poorly to the circumstances. God's got it. There's no need for you to fly off the handle. Can I tell you, some of you have been laid off at a job? God knows you've been laid off. Hey, if someone does you wrong, God knows someone's done you wrong. Hey, if someone's stolen from you, God knows someone's stolen from you. Hey, if someone has stabbed you in the back, God knows. Hey, who hasn't stabbed God in the back? Yeah. And by the filling of the Holy Spirit, we can stick out by not reacting harsh to life. If we value what God's Word says and we want what God wants from us, we will automatically stick out and start making a difference. And a church that is activated will be like these devoted few and will catch the attention of people inside and outside of the church because they allow the Holy Spirit to lead them in a life. A church that is activated doesn't have time for pettiness. A church that's activated doesn't have time to worry about what song they like and what song they didn't like. A church doesn't have time to look up and down at what someone is wearing. A church doesn't have time to stare at tattoos. A church doesn't have time to worry about where someone's been. A church doesn't have time to worry about what class wasn't set up. A church doesn't have time for anything other than saying, am I filled with the Holy Spirit so I can make a difference like the devoted few made a difference? Boy, it's important for us to realize God's church is dying, not because God's left us, but because we've left Him. Then they spoke out. I'm all for sticking out with my testimony, but someone's got to speak out. They didn't just walk around and go, the Holy Spirit is here. Ta-da! They spoke out. Look at this verse in verse 14. Look there with me. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11. I want you to notice something. This fires me up. Peter. Do you know who Peter is? Peter denied Jesus Christ. Isn't it ironic that Jesus chose the very person that denied him? You know what that tells me? With all my faults and with all my failures, with the Holy Spirit's power, God still wants to use me. Look up here at me. God wants to use you. The fact that he put Peter there to preach the message of 3,000 people coming to Christ, you are not a second-class citizen when it comes to God. He can use you in whatever capacity he wills if you would allow him to be filled with his power. And then we see Peter, he spoke out. In verse number 14, it says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words.'" Then if you notice, I don't have time to read all the passages, but he says in verse 15, "For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since in only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And Peter, who just days before had been cowardly, he didn't just sin, he was a coward. I'd have to say, I've been a coward when it's come to Jesus before. I've hurt Jesus. I've disappointed him. And he still wants to use me. Days before, he was a coward. He didn't admit that he even knew Jesus. But because of the filling of the Holy Spirit, he began preaching the gospel of Christ to the very people who had been responsible for the Lord's crucifixion. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, God transformed his whole life and he spoke out. Notice in verse 22 through verse 36, Peter speaks out to the crowd. He quotes Joel's prophecy and he points out that they crucified the Savior and they need to repent. And just as these men in this drama who portrayed just as people, they betray the military and training, and just as we watch on TV, and just as we see in our own community, the military men in their training, and then they speak out, and they speak out orders, and you have a sergeant that tells them where to go, and you have a sergeant that tells them what to do, and he gives them the orders. The Holy Spirit gives us the orders of our faith. And our faith should be so strong that in conversations in our home, our faith should be so strong that the Holy Spirit is present in our marriage. Our faith should be so strong that the Holy Spirit is present in our child rearing. Our faith should be so strong when you go to high school tomorrow. Or is it Friday? You're not going tomorrow. Don't go tomorrow, okay? Oh, it's Thursday. I don't know what day it is. Who knows? Whenever you go back to school, if you ever do, speak out. Well, Pastor Mark, it's all yours. I'm leaving. We can often think, what is the use? We keep silent. We go about our routine. We keep what we believe to ourselves. We go to church. We pray. We try and read our Bibles. We repent of our sins. And we hope that's enough. The Bible says, how will they hear? How will they hear without us being filled with the Holy Spirit and be bold like Peter that says, I have a story, and it's a story of grace where I failed my Savior, but he picked me up and the Holy Spirit indwelled me and emboldened me to share my faith with you. And Peter shared it. And 3,000 people came to Christ. You know, the enemy wants us to think, what's the use? The enemy wants us to live in our own little bubble called church. The enemy wants us to get together and make room for no more. The enemy wants us to be fed up with our community. The enemy wants us to hate the prostitutes downtown. The enemy wants us to be fed up with the drug addicts. The enemy wants us to be fed up with divorce. The enemy wants us to be fed up with people who spit in God's face. But that's not of God. You're here to share the message with the power of the Holy Spirit. We must make sure that our church is speaking out the gospel to our community and the world. Here's the last thing that I see in this passage with the Holy Spirit's works. They sold out. They sold out. If you look at the end of this chapter, in verse 37, it says this. Now when they heard this, this is the people reacting to Peter's message and the disciples. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. But I want you to keep reading. Notice, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any who had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. By the way, you broke a lot of bread this week together. And breaking bread together in the homes, they received their food with gladness and a generous heart. You can see from this last verse that they didn't just stick out or speak out, but they were sold out together in the name of Jesus. When our military men and women leave to go on a mission, they have to get all in. They've got to leave life behind and get all in and focused on their mission. They leave the everyday pleasures behind. The disciples practiced what they preached. It was more than church attendance. It was more than showing up for a small group. It was more than working in Awanas. It was more than singing in the choir. It was more than just talking, but it was showing that Jesus is real in our lives. It is getting all in with Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit does? You know, we make this so complicated. There's been times in my life where I've been so discouraged with my walk with God. And God's reminded me through this passage. You want to know how the Holy Spirit's working through you? You know it by this. You stick out. You speak out. You sell out. And sometimes I stick my foot in my mouth. You just all listened to it a minute ago. And don't judge me. You've been there, right? You've been there. Sometimes I feel like such a failure. But you know what the Holy Spirit's looking for? You to get all in. He's looking for, hey, sell out to me. Let me lead you. Let me lead you. Just surrender to me. Allow me to be the Lord of your life. Allow me to talk to you. Allow me to give you the words you need to say. Allow me to guide you. And these verses are very powerful. The disciples practiced what they preached. They devoted few that started Pentecost now lead thousands to sell out to Jesus. The early church turned its world upside down for Christ. They taught the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They fellowshiped, their fellowship was centered on Jesus Christ. They remembered him in communion. They communicated with him in prayer. All these verses are showing this. And they exalted Christ in worship. I would say they sold out. They sold things to provide for other people. They took care of their own. And they invited people into their fellowship. Look, I've gotten to meet a couple of you. And some of you are very different than the other people that I've met. You know what the oddest thing? I'm going to have to tell you, I minister to police officers. It's amazing. For some reason, God's allowed me. And police officers are a different breed. And I'll tell you, Pastor Mark is a good friend of mine, and it's the grace of God. It's amazing his church and his love for people. He's seen the worst of worst. But can I tell you why this man has the biggest heart for people? It's because of the Holy Spirit. It pushes aside cynicism. It pushes aside hatred. It pushes aside differences, and you can commune together with this power of the Holy Spirit. Can I say to you, what if you just believed? What if you just actually believed in this room that you could impact your community by the Holy Spirit? What if this church got to a point, and I don't know the background, but what if this church got to a point, God gave him a message and he shared it, and you in one accord said, we're doing it. What if the church came about the feeling of the Holy Spirit and not the times of the services? What if it came about nothing but pleasing the Lord? I don't know. I don't know where this church is at. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the struggles personally. I don't know if you're feeling inadequate. I don't know if you're feeling cold. I don't know if you're ready to go for the Lord. But what you're going to need is Acts chapter number 2 to wait for that rushing wind. Ask for the Spirit to lead you and be filled with the Spirit. This church, our church, must be a church that is determined that we will not be a church that is known for anything else, but they're serious when it comes to Jesus. They're serious when it comes to Jesus. Though everything, look, I'm amazed at this church. I've been encouraged. Is that okay for me to be encouraged by you? The love for Jesus encourages me. Just to see what you've done over the years has encouraged me. But ladies and gentlemen, your future depends on the Holy Spirit's guidance. And the pastors, the leaders, and everybody in this room's life. The second chapter of Acts shows us the start of the church. The most powerful ever movement in the world and still today is Pentecost. These devoted few brought change to lives for eternity. And we have church tonight because a devoted few said, Holy Spirit, lead me into action for you. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty. I think for some in this room, I don't know why, but some in this room, you feel inadequate. Your past haunts you on a daily basis. There's teenagers in this room. The Lord speaks to them and they're beat up all the time because of what they've done or what they're holding on to. Everybody in this room. There's some that will not give in and know that God wants to use you because you beat yourself up. It's time to realize it's not about you. It's about God. There's some here, you've been in church for a long time and you know more Bible than me. And you're pretty proud of it, probably. It's time to realize that it's not the knowledge of God. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask this church something? I want you to enlist. I want you to say tonight you're all in. I want this church next week, you're tired, you're sleepwalking at work because you've been here all week. But I want you to be so glad because you surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Would you do that? Would you bow your heads right there? Now, I'm a firm believer that at the end of any time the book is open, that as God's spoken to us, we speak back to Him. Oh, I pray that if nothing else, that God sent me to you to remind you that the Holy Spirit wants to lead you in your life to reach people for Jesus. I rejoice with you that Crystal, her husband came to Christ. I rejoice with you with the great week. But it makes me think how many more Crystals that God's going to bring to this church. The Holy Spirit must lead it. I'm going to pray for you and then just turn it over to your pastor. Father, I'm asking you, use this message to remind us. I think of Peter. Lord, I believe that purpose, part of the purpose of Peter speaking Pentecost was to remind us even today that it is you that will reach our world. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that they would understand that you have chosen them for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring glory to yourself. And God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that the greatest days of this church are ahead because they yield to your Spirit and your works will be known all over this community. I pray for this pastor, my dear brother. I pray for this church that you would protect it. I pray that you'd bind the enemy. And I pray that the Spirit would move amongst this place because there was people willing to be in the minority but be a devoted few to your power. Do what you will tonight, I pray.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I think the most exciting part of life is living in the Holy Spirit. You're missing out if you're not living in the Holy Spirit. It's so exciting, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but it's exciting. That's one of the reasons I like being a policeman. I just had no idea what was going to happen to me the next day. But I think living by the Holy Spirit is even more exciting than that. I was rolling down. This is not very long ago. I just had almost about retiring, and I'm up here instead on some call. I had all this work as a sergeant. I had paperwork to do and everything, and I'm heading southbound on 395. And I'm coming up on Dan Deeney. Sheriff's office is off to the right. When I see a man on the overpass looking southbound, he's walking, and he just stops and looks. And I'm still way back looking, and I'm looking at that, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he said, "Mark, that ain't right." And I come up under the freeway, and I'm looking. And I adjust my mirror on the way back past Dan Denny. I go, "Sure enough, Lord, that ain't right. Too bad I got so much paperwork." Yeah. I kid you not, that's what I said. And he said this, "Mark, if you care, you'll turn around." And I, with all the grace of my heart, went, "All right, I'll turn around." And I had to get off on McCarran, and of course I got to be tactical, so I don't run back up. He's on the wrong side. He's on the south side. I got to come in on the south side. So I hit McCarran, wrap it around, come up Old Virginia. You know, that takes a little bit of time. I said, "Lord, I tell you what, if he ain't there, you're not speaking to me." So I was a little smart aleck. And got off on par, pulled up there, and I pull up and go, "Whoa." And he's got his hand on the barrier. I mean, brothers and sisters, he's jumping. And I pull up there. I get about from here to that door, and I stop, and I hit my overheads. And I said, "This is critical." And I thought I was going to do the approach. And the Holy Spirit said, "Now, hey, listen now. I've gotten you this far. Do what I tell you." And I did the most untactical thing you can do. I walked up to the man, put my arm around him, and said, "I don't know what's going on, but I want you to know that Jesus loves you and I love you." And he just bawled. He fell on my shoulder. And I'm looking over at the county jail, looking around. I thought every deputy's like, "Oh, that's RPD, all right, right there. It's RPD. Mr. Tactical." And I got to speak to him about the Lord. I got to get some help for him. Do you know how many people drove by that man that day? Do you know how many people never heard the word? I want to ask you this question. If you'd have been driving down there, would you have heard him? Do you have the Holy Spirit? You're missing out on life. If you don't have the stamp of the Holy Spirit and you're to die tonight, let me tell you what would happen to you. You would leave this world without any security of a future. In fact, it's already stated in the scripture, on the day of redemption, you would be found in want and you'd be lost. Not because you're better or worse, because you're not forgiven and you've never come to faith in Christ. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You need to get desperate and come to faith in Christ and have the Holy Spirit. And so we want to give you an opportunity for that. Is the Lord just speaking to your heart, young people, adults, children? Is the Holy Spirit, through what the brother said tonight, I mean, you're sitting there going, I need the Holy Spirit so bad in my life.